The first step to make it to the Americas was to raise enough money to build a ship and fund the voyage. The cost of the ship was divided into parts, shares that the wealthy and the bourgeoisie would hurry to acquire, thus becoming participants in the venture. The same collective system used to fund the construction of a ship was often used to buy the cargo. The participants in the venture would give funds to the captain, authorising him to use them to buy merchandise and expecting to reap the profits. Times were changing. A poor Eurette fisherman could become a shipmaster. The son of the old shipmaster could become a navigator. He could go to the best nautical schools in the area, in Barcelona, Mataró, Arenys. He studied hard, he completed his apprenticeship voyages, and he got his diploma as second navigator. Then he could steer a ship. He would look for a crew and make them sign a detailed contract before shipping out. Their rights and obligations would be clearly specified: salaries, payment conditions, room and board. The captain would be the highest authority in a crew made up of almost 20 men, where a strict hierarchy reigned. The navigator, the boatswain, the carpenter, the steward, the cook, the sailors, the deckhands, the cabin boy, all working towards a successful voyage. Once the ship was ready and the crew on board, it was time to hoist the sails and set a course for the Americas. If all went well, it took about 8 weeks to travel from Eurette to Cuba by sail. Besides illness, there were many dangers the crew had to face: storms, harsh winds, rough seas. If the outcome was successful, the sailors would thank Providence for their good fortune with a model or a painting of their ship, which they would leave as an offering in one of the town's hermitages. Sometimes dangers didn't come from nature, but at the hands of men. Many ships were attacked by North African pirates or French or English corsairs. Ships from Eurette were no exception. Don't forget, visitor, that the aim of these voyages was purely commercial. The ship's holds were filled with Catalan products that were exchanged for exotic American goods. On the way out, ships would carry wine, olive oil, soap, noodles, salt, bricks, cotton textiles, and on the way home, they were loaded with mahogany, cotton, cocoa, sugar, tobacco, coffee, cinnamon, rum. But these commercial operations also had a dark side. I will not try to hide from you that some Catalans also participated in the slave trade, or the important trade in tasajú, a kind of dry salted beef that was used to feed slaves. And now, visitor, get ready. By going down these few steps, we'll enter the house next door, the one I bought from the Taratz family, and join to ours. Follow me.